Radio.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Joe, 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 it's time to go, go, go. You're just so status quo. Both friend and phone, no, you're a no-go, Joe.
Come on, man.
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich.
Welcome to the notorious, patriotically correct radio show, the most prolific for truth-telling across the United States of America and worldwide. If you have not subscribed to our exploding Rumble channel, make sure that you get over there and do that now. Also, find the writings of myself and that casually dressed Richard Leonard over at redvoicemedia.com. Make sure that you get there. Welcome aboard to all of our iHeart listeners listening on Mojo 5.0. In a few minutes, we're going to try to make sense of everything that has been going on with GameStop, shorting, the market. Things are upside down, and this is great for patriots. If in a time when nothing could bring any of us together, GameStop has done that. We're going to talk with Dr. Doug Ramsey. He's the chairman and CEO of Breeze Holdings Acquisition Corp. He's an expert in the field of finance and investing. He's going to try to help us make some sense of all of this that's going on. After that, he is the journalist, the investigative journalist that was forced to flee Portland after being attacked, doxxed, and beaten savagely, threatened with all kinds of murderous and heinous activities by Antifa. He's written a book, and he's going to be coming to us live. Andy Ngo will be here from an undisclosed location. After that, we will go to Carlos Cortez Jr., another financial expert with a completely different view, and he's going to tell us why this is so good for patriots and how the free market is showing the establishment who's really in charge. And then immediately following that, we will go to Joe the Cop, who's going to pontificate on three to four different use of force situations involving law enforcement. It's a packed show today, but first, got to tell you about Verve. Now, Verve Forever can be found at thepcradioshow.com. This is the CBD product that you and I were completely ignorant to, Richard. We were completely ignorant to the whole CBD thing.
Correct.
Prior to getting involved with Tim Klund. Now, if you're already doing the CBD regimens, you are 10 steps ahead of myself because I just started. But what I can tell you is that CBD, you're more healthy, Richard, if you're less stressed. If you're dealing with your PTS, if you're dealing with your anxiety, PTSD, if you're dealing with just an out of balance type thing that you're working to get back into balance, if you're trying to reduce the level of fear in times like today, CBD can really be helpful with that. Now, you're on the full spectrum blend for veterans, and I am doing something else. I don't know what it is exactly, but it works great. I also use the CBD pain cream from Verve for my shoulder. No longer am required to have shoulder surgery. This is the highest quality CBD available on the market at the most affordable prices. You can find information on Verve Forever at thepcradioshow.com. If you are already using Verve, as I mentioned, you're well ahead of me, CBD. But if you're not using Verve CBD, then you're not doing business with a veteran-owned company, all right? This is a veteran-owned company. That's why we stand by them. They're a charitable donation-type company as well. They put their money where their mouth is, and if you're a patriot, this is where you should be doing business. So leave that other BS place that you're doing business with now. Get over to thepcradioshow.com for more information on Verve United. Dr. Doug Ramsey coming up in 60 seconds.
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich. Back in a minute.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4812. 800-978-4812.
800-978-4812. That's 800-978-4812.
With a domestic population of 350 million and 7.8 billion worldwide, we thank the 12 of you that listen to this garbage.
It's garbage, and I'll tell you why.
The Patriotically Correct Radio Show.
Eat me.
Stu and Rich. Worldwide at thepcradioshow.com.
You are all aware of what's going on in the market. If you're not, you're living under a rock. You may not understand exactly what it is that's going on. You're seeing hashtag GameStop all over the place, hedge fund this and investor that. And now what you're seeing is in a country where we are so polarized and so divided, it took GameStop to bring us all together. And if the proof isn't in the pudding, look at this. Don Jr. and AOC are now on the same page. Who in the heck would have ever thought that something like that could happen? Yikes. Joining us to try to make a little bit of sense out of this is Dr. Doug Ramsey. He's the chairman and CEO of Breeze Holdings Acquisition Corp. And he's been focused on upstream energy finance for a long time. I'm not going to date you here. I'll let you do all of that. he is the host of the Dr. Doug Ramsey Show, which can be found on iHeartRadio. Search the station Mojo 50 every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. You're a first timer here on the Patriotically Correct Radio Show, and we welcome you in as a network brother. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, great to be on, guys.
Okay, so long and the short of it is, I've heard this is great for Patriots. There have also been other pundits, Dr. Ramsey, that say this is an unbeatable battle, that this is uphill. Try to make some sense out of this for the layperson, whether they have $1, $5, $10, and they were following social media influencers in an attempt to what looks like maybe save GameStop and then throw it all in the face of the establishment investors and hedge fund people. I don't know anything about this, so what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, this is wild. I haven't seen anything like it in my career. And, you know, just today, GameStop's up $142. I'm looking at it live right now. It just traded for $335.52. I mean, just last week, it was a fraction of that. And, you know, it's always seemed like the retail investor, the little guy, is always, you know, kind of taking it in the shorts and never had a break because of, you know, the automated trading algorithms and the big boys, the hedge funds and other huge institutional investors. They would get in there and, you know, kind of game the system, if you will, because they're faster than us at trading and they just have more money to throw at it. And it just never seemed like we could get ahead. And it turns out through and I hadn't even been on this site until yesterday. Wall Street Bets on Reddit. Wall Street Bets has got a platform and there's a lot of information sharing among small investors, and they started rallying and chalking up the stock and going long, which means they're buying it. And what they did was, and this is amazing, it's almost like a David and Goliath story. They wound up forcing a short squeeze on the hedge funds that were short GameStop. So these hedge funds said, hey, we bet GameStop's going to go down, and so we're going to short the stock. And what happens if you're short, if the stock rallies and starts going up, you have to go out and buy that stock at the market price. So if you short it at 40 bucks and it rallies up to 300 and you don't have any stock to cover that, you're going to get a margin call and you got to go out and buy that GameStop stock. At, you know, the market price at $300, $335 to cover a $40 position. So these hedge funds all of a sudden have to post collateral overnight. It just about busted one or two of these giant hedge funds where they got, you know, more than $3 billion in assets under management. I mean, that's how much of an effect this has had. And it's just garnered, you know, attention in Washington, as you pointed out, and just, it's getting all kinds of attention. It's the headline story on CNBC, you know, on all your news channels right now.
I don't know who she is. Say, we are we're watching as social media has been in the news a lot lately, you know, with high tech censorship and the deletion of accounts and shadow banning and the removal of complete platforms. Ask Parler how they're doing. This all started with social media influencers. And now, as a result of that, you're seeing these hedge funds actually have to go to the Fed to borrow money to cover for this margin where they're just really losing. So in lay terms, What is the free market showing the establishment right now?
So, look, the free market's saying, look, if you have information and enough people have expectations and beliefs that this stock or any company should be worth more than it was yesterday, they'll bid more for it. I mean, the market cap on GameStop right now is $23.3 billion, which is just incredible. And you know, is the intrinsic or underlying value really there to support it? You know, if you look at the sales of GameStop and their net income and cash flow and all that, I don't know. It may be running a little wild, but that's what the efficient markets are all about. It's new news that's different from current expectations. And if that new news is better or more optimistic, it's going to drive the price up. If it's worse than expectations, it's going to drive the price down, and it keeps getting updated in real time.
So, Doug, let me ask you a question, because I'm probably the most ignorant person when it comes to the stock market.
That's a fact.
I have $2,000 in a stash account on my phone. I have no idea what I'm doing with it. So let's say I'm one of these guys that bought up a bunch of GameStop. What happens when and if the company as a whole fails, but everybody's got these stocks? They just lose all their money?
Yeah, I mean, they could lose. So, you know, it's rallied so much. There are a couple things a layperson could do. One is they could buy puts. So if they've got stock right now at $333, and they're concerned that, hey, if Robinhood shuts the trading back down on the platform like they did yesterday, and that got a whole bunch of attention, and a couple of the other brokerage houses did the same thing. They just said, hey, we're going to start to control who can trade and when you can trade, which is a whole new discussion, you know, in itself. You can hedge by buying put options on GameStop, and the put option just puts a floor in.
Yeah.
And so you can put a floor in at, say, $300. And so if the stock just craters because, you know, the SEC steps in, which is the Securities and Exchange Commission, or, you know, some other disasters happen and it just plummets, you've got a safety net in place and you're not going to lose everything you invested, your $2,000 in GameStop.
So the conversation that you said with Robinhood and some of these other brokerage houses, we only have a couple of minutes left here, but I think it was Ted Cruz that's calling for a full investigation and looking at criminal investigation for these people over here. Is it possible that this was a glitch, that they couldn't fulfill the orders? Or did this look, because it wasn't Robinhood exclusively and it was other brokerage houses, could this potentially be an intentional act to shut down this buying process so that they didn't lose their asses I guess is the best way that I can think to put it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real possibility. I started seeing the talk about too much volume going through and they couldn't keep up. Well, shit. I mean, look at foreign exchange and look at how many trades across the entire stock exchange universe go on every day. And they're saying they don't have enough bandwidth to process the stuff. That sounds more like a PR position that Robinhood's coming out with and to kind of cover up for just really controlling or putting their own kind of circuit breaker in to prevent further losses. But then it pits the little guy against the big guys. Are these trading platforms now going to dictate when you're able to sell out of your position or buy into a position just because they decide, you know, that no trading should go on in a particular stock? I mean, it's really opening up a can of worms.
So real quick follow-up and final question that I have for you here is, we're talking about the little guy being pitted against the big guy, the establishment, the corporation, if you will. Do you think that there's more money collectively in the pockets of the little guy than there is collectively in all the big guys that operate and run these hedge funds? In other words, if you and I, little guy, decides, yep, we're all in on this and we're going to wage war against these people, who wins that battle at the end of the day?
It's a really interesting question. So the little guys collectively, I mean, think about this paradox. So you got money in 401k plans, you got them in bank accounts, you got them with money with insurance companies. they all roll that money up and then they're investing. So that's where you have the institutional investors and you have the hedge funds getting a bunch of their money. And so it's kind of your own money working against you in a sense, right? So collectively at the individual level, I don't know how this is sustainable. I think the the bigger institutions, if you will, are going to wind up coming out ahead at the end of this whole process. But there's definitely some disconnect right now that we're seeing.
Yeah, Jordan Belfort just came out and said this is a no-win situation for Wall Street versus the little guy. All sorts of different speculation going on today. Dr. Doug Ramsey. You can't make dough without Doug. Make sure that you tune in. Mojo 50 Radio. That's on iHeartRadio Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern. Thanks a lot for being here. Appreciate it.
All right, you bet. See you guys.
The powerful conversation continues as PC Radio Show continues in just 60 seconds as we talk with Andy Ngo. He's the outed investigative journalist who's exposing the truth about Antifa. Go nowhere. My name is Stu. That's Richard. We'll be back shortly.
We will force votes.
We will not stop.
Any Republican senator is part of the cover-up.
What the f***?
Impeachment.
This is madness.
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich. The enemy of progressive politicians and politically correct assholes. PC Radio. Worldwide at thepcradioshow.com.
As violent protests and riots erupted following the overdose death of George Floyd in May and here in Minneapolis and continued throughout the summer, American cities became battlegrounds thanks to a widely misunderstood radical group called Antifa. Deploying aggressive and violent tactics often involved in arson, assault, self-described anti-fascists have appeared as counter-protesters at right-wing demonstrations or as a militant element at left-wing ones. Many assume that with Donald Trump's exit from the Oval Office, the loss of their right-wing target will cause Antifa to fade into the background. According to journalist Andy Ngo, who has done the most in-depth reporting on Antifa and American media, this theory couldn't be more wrong. Antifa's here to stay, he says, and will become even more influential in the Biden era by serving as the far left's shock troops to intimidate political opponents, undermine elections, and push for radical, violent revolution. In his new book, Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy, Andy Ngo asserts that Antifa has been emboldened in recent months, and he joins us now, also the editor-at-large for the Post-Millennial. Andy, welcome to PC Radio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
So you're gone. You were forced to flee Portland. Obviously, there were many assaults. There were threats on your life. You uncovered what's going on with Antifa. As a result, you write a book. Tell us the story.
The story is that the United States right now is being confronted with a violent extremist movement that calls for terrorist attacks against the state and citizens, and nobody's recognizing it. Under the banner of anti-fascism, these so-called anti-fascists are carrying out acts of violence against individuals, property, the state. They've launched a number of deadly attacks. They've claimed and seized territory and claimed it to be sovereign and theirs. And nobody seems to be recognizing what we're dealing with. Their goal is to destabilize the republic so that they can overthrow the American government. They view the U.S. as the imperialistic fascist state, which is why it's no problem for them to riot and cause misery and destruction, even with Trump out of the executive office, because it never was about Trump. That was just the excuse they used to push their message and agenda into the mainstream left.
Amazing. You're saying that here because Biden is in and because Trump's gone is not going to slow their agenda. Would you suggest that Biden embraces this movement and the far left, the progressive radicals that have hijacked the Democratic Party? Do you think that they embrace this Antifa movement behind closed doors?
Biden, I don't think he does because he's an old school Democrat. But those who make up the DNC, that's a different story. These are now younger people who have been marinating in critical race theory and who have, in my view, if not a hatred for the U.S., at least hatred for many of its founding ideals. And it's been under Democrats and leftists in journalism and other institutions that have really pushed the Antifa message into the mainstream by not only not challenging it, but actually giving it legitimacy. So, for example, going back several years now, there was really an embrace on the mainstream left that when the far left responds to their political opponents using violence, such as when they punch people or they hit them, that was actually celebrated. Then throughout 2020, when there were numerous riots that lasted for months on end, the response in many of our paper records and legacy media and Democrat politicians is that it was a legitimate outpouring of grief and that people matter more than property anyways, and that windows can be replaced. As people in Minnesota know, the destruction to neighborhoods, causing them to be torched down to the ground, it's not about windows being broken, it's about actually ruining lives. And these riots actually cause a couple dozen people to be killed. And in Portland, my home city that I've had to flee, we had more than 120 days of nightly riots that were being organized and carried out by Antifa. And they were being, these riots were being praised by the mainstream left, actually, because they thought that these people were actually opposing a fascist regime. When these were people who were using explosives, bringing guns, bringing knives, trying to burn down the federal courthouse.
Amazing. Is there a way to combat this? Is there a way to defeat these people?
Empower the law enforcement to actually do their job.
Yeah.
One. Two, vote out district attorneys who are not willing to actually prosecute those for political reasons. So in Portland, we've had now more than 1,000 riot-related cases, and Portland has a new district attorney who is hard left and campaigned to be a campaign for restorative justice, which is just a euphemism for letting criminals go. As a matter of policy, his office decriminalized felony rioting. So over 90% of the people who were arrested in months and months of riots in Portland were immediately having their charges dropped. Their bail was also covered by these Antifa groups that fundraise on their behalf.
Yeah.
So as I document in the book, literally you have people who were arrested one night and within the same day, within 24 hours, rioting again the following evening. The now, facing no legal consequence.
The now vice president of our country, Kamala Harris, actually tweeted and posted to Facebook a way to get involved by donating to the Minnesota Freedom Fund and talking about what great work they were doing. It was as a result of Kamala Harris, the vice president, then the candidate, that these people are free on bail and that their bail is paid for by these people who now represent the executive wing of the federal government. It's absolutely amazing to me. Real quick question before Richard gets into his. I know that he's got one. Antifa.com recently redirected to whitehouse.gov. Now, that can be done by the Antifa people, obviously. But if the president and the White House were against that or didn't want that to be the case, wouldn't there be a way that they could get involved to block that forwarding from happening? And why didn't they do that in your speculation?
I don't know, but you know, anybody can buy a web domain and have it forward to anything. So I don't want to speculate that they're, you know, that the White House currently is like supportive of that or anything. I don't think I come with a particular partisan message, although I do have a lot of criticism against the Democrats. But in the book, as readers will see, the threat that from Antifa is against everybody who lives in a republic because they don't recognize any American government, which is why when they were rioting on Inauguration Day in Portland and Seattle against Joe Biden, one of the banners they held said, "We don't want Biden, we want revenge." And they had an image of a Kalashnikov rifle. So Democrats have been feeding and coddling this beast and allowing it to grow. And I'm afraid that it's probably too strong now for them to slay it. Unfortunately, literally the Portland mayor, who is left wing and has been playing footsie with Antifa since he came into office in 2017, he literally had to flee his home because they were rioting and targeting him. They've assaulted him when he's eaten out. So Democrats are scared of Antifa.
Well, and they should be. You had mentioned first of all, sorry that you had to flee your home. You'd mentioned that the only way to beat this is to empower the police. I wonder, do you think that the police are even on board anymore? Like, we know that police in Portland, they're going to work every day. They're doing their thing, but are they really there to do a job, or is it more, you think, that they're there to protect their pension and protect the things it is that they're working towards? You know, we can empower the police, but are they going to get back on board and do the job that they should be empowered to do? Do you think that it's a lost cause, or is there hope yet?
That's a really important point that you raise. I myself, as somebody who's been very strong in my advocacy for supporting police departments and policing as an institution, I think policing in America and in other liberal democratic states do it for the most part well. I mean, my family comes from a society where the police are people who are corrupt. They're not your friends or anything. So anyways, but to get to the point that you're talking about, police officers are there to follow the chain of command. And if that commands from above are giving bad instruction, officers are going to follow it. So in Portland, for example, if I just talk about me, I've reported all of my, all of the death threats against me, people who have shown up to my home, people who have called for others to kill me, murder me. I was beaten in 2019 by Antifa, it's caught on video. It has not led to single arrest. And I believe that is probably political. Captains, police chiefs from departments across the US, these are political positions and they are trying to do what they think will, I think, make them popular in the public. And as of right now, unfortunately, the supporting BLM, supporting Antifa makes one more popular than if you go against it. I think with beat cops, so you get a different story, but again, there's very little that they're able to do if they're given a certain set of instructions, because even just use of force when they are legally justifiable at some of these riots, when they do it, their whole career is put into jeopardy because out of context videos gets released, they get placed immediately on leave, and endless investigations, they get smeared through the media. So you're right that the issue is not just about empowering law enforcement. As I mentioned a moment ago, the role of the district attorney, the prosecutor, is extremely important. So you can have a really good police department making the arrest, but if the prosecutors are choosing not to prosecute, then it's for nothing. Yeah. And then on top of that, it's also about leadership as well, political leadership, city councils, mayors, and governors. If they are not supporting their own police departments, they can actively actually make the police departments feckless. So as I write in the book, part of the reason that Antifa in the Pacific Northwest were able to riot so effectively and so long is because the local city councils actually passed laws banning the certain use of crowd control tactics. Mm-hmm. So that only benefited the rioters.
They got rid of those prior to 2020, you're saying?
No, in the course of the riots. Okay. For example, Roger. Banning the use of tear gas.
And then self-proclaimed police commissioner just recently used a chemical agent himself against these people. He takes the tear gas away from the cops and then ends up macing somebody himself. That's Ted Wheeler. He's a feckless leader, and he needs to be ousted immediately. A final follow-up question for you here. Your book has basically caused a lot of controversy. I mean, anytime that you tell the truth, you're at risk of being canceled, doxed, beaten, killed, worse. How about the response from booksellers, Barnes & Noble, etc.? Are they selling your book, or are they being cautious and refusing to do so that their place doesn't get burned to the ground?
So Palace Books, which is one of the largest independent bookstores in the world, definitely in America, it's based in Portland, and they were subject to 6 days of protests by people who were violent outside their flagship store in downtown. And these were Antifa who were calling for my book to be banned weeks ahead of release. And the bookstore, instead of standing by their principles to be neutral in what they sell, they decided to pull the book from its shelves. But they said it would still be available on the online catalog. So that's why the Antifa continued to protest and cause the business to be shut down for a few days. Fortunately, other bookstores have not canceled it so far. to readers right now, you know, wherever books are sold online, they can order the book. And I'm thankful that I have this opportunity to really expose Antifa, because it wasn't just me who's been victimized by them. There's been countless number of people, and most of them have had to suffer in silence because they don't have a platform, they don't have a voice. So I hope that this book can reach lots of people, that they can find out really the true threat that we're dealing with.
Well, we appreciate all your efforts and for everything that you've been through. That's brave. Truly patriotic and very brave. Get his book. Yep. It is called Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. Andy, where can people follow you, social media and otherwise, as you're going to continue, I would imagine, to expose this threat to America?
Andy-NGO.com is my website.
Andy-NGO.com. And you can get his book wherever books are available. Thanks a lot for being here. It's called Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy America. More PC Radio coming up in just 60 seconds as we continue with more powerful conversation. Carlos Cortez Jr. is up next.
We will force votes.
We will not stop.
Any Republican senator is part of the cover-up.
What the f***?
Impeachment.
This is madness!
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich. Back in a minute.
It is madness. Total madness. Everything that is going on in our country right now. I don't think that there is one thing that hasn't been touched by controversy. I mean, who would have thought? Hedge funds and all of this stuff. It just shows you how deep the corruption really goes and how important it is to do business with American-owned, veteran-owned, family-owned businesses right here locally in your country and throughout America. Okay, so in your county, in your state, in your neighborhood, support local business owners and find the ones that are known to do the best work. Now, one of the sponsors on this show and one of the people that you hear us talking about often is Johnson Jewelers. And this is a place that myself and Richard both do business with. We have for a very long time, and we continue to do business with Johnson Jewelers because we appreciate their business. I asked Johnson Jewelers, the family-owned business here from Minnesota, if they would be interested in a sponsorship on this show. And graciously, yeah, they do. They don't really need us to speak on their behalf, right? It was kind of like more helping us out than anything else as we were a new show just kind of getting started. But since we have really grown close, and it's a family-owned business, it has been since day one. The thing that Johnson Jewelers specializes in is custom jewelry. So if you have a pendant, or if you have a stone, or if you have a watch, they do watch work, they buy gold, they buy diamonds. But most importantly, anything that you want and anywhere that you are, if you visit Johnson Jewelers online at johnsonjewelers.com, give them a call, send them an email, do a little bit of work with them, they can make that very special thing for you. Diamonds are forever, and I'm telling you, if you want them set just the way that you imagined, well, the only person that can do it for you that's a family-owned business, American-owned, that we believe in is Johnson Jewelers. Make sure to visit them online at johnsonjewelers.com. That's johnsonjewelers.com. johnsonjewelers.com. PC Radio continues right now.
Their mama's always told them they'd never amount to anything.
You know what? I am going to ground you for 3 months.
Yeah, they were right.
Why doesn't anybody ever
live? Stuart and Richard, PC Radio is on.
Carlos Cortez Jr., he got tired of Wall Street injustices, just like the rest of us, but he learned earlier, back in the early 2000s, after becoming a stockbroker, he worked for a national investment firm and saw that corporate America wasn't for the average American. That I do know. He quickly realized that he needed to start his own firm. His father, who served in the U.S. Army and is a current minister, instilled values to keep him upright at an early age, basically. Trust God first and do the right thing always. I like that as well. In 2011, he started Cortez Wealth Management. He is a public speaker, fiduciary, former stockbroker, and is a prominent advisor in Florida, and is among the top 5% in his space, a rising star and fellow patriot. And he joins us right now. Carlos, welcome to Patriotically Correct Radio. Thanks a lot for making the time to be here with us today. All kinds of questions circling around. You know, we see the hashtags all over the place. GameStop this, hedge fund that, Bitcoin this, cryptocurrency, all kinds of different stuff going on. What in the world is happening? Can you help us make some sense out of this?
Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be here. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things going on. And I think what we're going through right now is a financial reset. We're going through the financial reset. It is not a secret that Wall Street and Washington are among each other. There is some dark pools, some dark, you know, deals that are made in the back end. And, you know, let's talk about politics and not GameStop just a second.
Sure.
Let's actually talk about, look at what Bloomberg did. NPR came back in, I think it was in September of last year, just straight up gave $100 million to help Biden win Florida, which that blew up in his face. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we had Barron's just recently, Barron's and Market Insider said Pelosi's husband just dropped $1 million on Tesla call options. So we have a lot of infringements when it comes to politics and Wall Street. I remember vaguely, I don't know if it was at a presidential debate or if it was one of those long-winded debates that Trump had last year. And it was when Biden was outbeating Trump in capital and in capital and raising funds. He was beating him 5-1, mm-hmm. if you guys remember that. Well, where did he get that money from? You know, that's the question we should be asking. Why is hedge funds and why all these investment banks paying Yellen, our Fed chair, $815,000 to speak? I mean, there has to be some compliance there. And to say that, oh, no, everything is gravy. No, this has been going on for a very long time. And it's finally coming into fruition. You know, the Bible says that sin will find you out and corruption will be fought out. And so I believe that's what's going on right now. It's affecting Americans. I mean, here's a God honest truth. The reason why I left corporate America as a financial planner is because my boss at the time told me that I had to sell expensive commissionable products and that 97% of those fees are generated from clients. Now that I wasn't able to go to bed at night knowing that. And the same still goes on today. So let's backtrack to like 1983. In 1983, everybody talks bad about life insurance, even Dave Ramsey. But did you know that life insurance companies go way back from Franklin Roosevelt? Franklin Roosevelt basically had Social Security earmarked and used life insurance companies to pay clients or anyone that lived past 65 a tax-free retirement. Still to this day, if you feel that Biden and his socialist agenda is coming after your IRAs, you can still use the Roosevelt plan. My buddy David McKnight has a great book on this. I highly recommend it, Power of Zero. You can use that book and basically you can, I'm here to help if you need some guidance, but you could use the tax code 7702 to defend your IRAs and 401ks and also non-qualified assets so they're not subject to taxation. So we have a taxation issue. We have a corruption issue with hedge funds. We have a liquidity problem. And here's a other problem that no one's talking about is that when we have $64 trillion of baby boomers money, guess who's getting all that money? The millennials who probably are allergic to work, right? They're not buying a fiat currency. They're not buying a dollar that is controlled and manipulated by some corrupt politician in a boardroom filled with 12 guys in a white collar suit. They're not going to buy USD. They're going to buy Bitcoin. They're going to buy cryptocurrencies. And so what we're seeing, I feel, is a start of a financial reset. The hedge fund managers, there needs to be some regulation there with politicians. I don't know what that looks like, but you can't just trade GameStop, and then call a timeout in the middle of a Super Bowl and say, hey, let's change up some rules. You can't do that. That is socialism meeting Wall Street. You cannot do that. So
yeah.
I was very upset yesterday. I am proud. I am proud that there's millions and millions of people on the left-hand side and the right-hand side that are actually getting into commerce and trading. I am a big fan of it. I love that who knew, like you said earlier, GameStop would bring America together. And we are fighting for one cause, and that is freedom to capitalize in a free market. And that is the last breath America has is our financial system. And this is why I'm extremely passionate. This is why my whole life I felt that I was called to help people with their financial retirement. And and basically do the right thing. And this is part of what I experienced at a very young age when I was a stockbroker at 21 years old.
He's an expert in retirement planning, well-disciplined in ever-evolving crypto markets. Carlos Cortez Jr. from Cortez Wealth Management is joining us right now. Is this winnable for the little guy?
It depends. If you're retired, I don't know who a definition of a little guy is different. If you're not a hedge fund, I guess you're considered a little guy. In retirement, there is a bucket system approach I like to use. So look, if you had $100,000 in your life savings, take a third of that, put it in a growth bucket, take a third of that, use it for guaranteed income, take another third of that, and use it for possibly another growth bucket or a rainy day fund. They all have different spectrums. Working with a fiduciary that's really in knowing the actual fluctuations of the markets, it is possible with a right plan, is what I'm saying. There are some tools that we can use to protect clients' principal, grow assets. Not everybody can be a day trader. And I think that's where the little guys got hurt, is maybe they went on Facebook and someone said, hey, buy some call options on Tesla. Or maybe you're following Nancy Pelosi's husband and buying Tesla options with him. You will get hurt. What I do know is that hedge funds working on Wall Street, and they used to brag about this at every day in happy hour, is how much money did you steal today? And think about this. I mean, this is what really, really, really pisses me off. You know, I saw my dad. He was a blue collar worker. He was a welder when he wasn't pastoring or wasn't servicing in the Army. His day job was just welding. I did not want to look dirty after a hard. I didn't want to get my hands dirty like my dad did. And I didn't want to sweat and do all that labor. So I studied money, and I would never in my wildest dreams imagine taking somebody's money that is a hardworking man. And as Americans, we have, I mean, the reason why we're Americans, because we're hardworking, blue collar, doesn't matter who it is, but I bring that mindset to the white collar industry. And it's funny because Robin Hood, I feel like Robin Hood sometimes. I tell people how to steal from the rich, which are the hedge funds, and protect, you know, middle Americans. But I just, you know, some of these people are soulless. They're absolutely soulless, and you just can't steal from middle America and get away with it.
Is there criminal activity going on there with Robin Hood? I mean, I know that you can't say for in a definitive sense. You've been in this thing for a long time. These people just shut down their ability to buy stocks. That's got to be – is that criminal?
That's a great question. So there is a layer, and I do want to defend compliance a little bit. For anyone in the financial industry that works in operations, they know this. When you open up a Robinhood account, there's two arguments here. When you open up a Robinhood account or a TD or E-Trade or any type of financial company, when you go through their application process, there's something called a KYC, a Know Your Customer rule. And my cousin just messaged me. He said, yeah, I just opened up a Robinhood account and they didn't ask me anything. So we have a lot of fraudulent activity going that is, you know, possibly going towards, you know, these smaller apps that you can buy fractional shares. So it is the best interest of a brokerage firm. If there are so many buys and sells that are unprecedented, they have to stop trading. It's part of what the agreement when you sign up with a brokerage account. The question is there any calls from the White House? Are there any calls from politicians to banks? That's what we need to be looking at. You know, because
there is.
You cannot stop the Super Bowl in the middle of the game, take your shorts out, and then allow things to resume. So you're good. It is tough. I mean, you can't. I mean, that is criminal, I feel. Yeah. But let's look at the other side. We got Americans that are getting together and they're going on Reddit and they're saying, hey, buy Nokia or buy AMC. And if you've noticed, I've noticed earlier today, all the companies that are Wall Street is betting on through the Reddit alerts, they're all companies that we loved growing up that are absolutely gone. AMC, you got Nokia. That was my first cell phone.
Snake.
It was a Nokia. You know, you played the Snake game. You remember that?
Yep.
So, I mean, you got Nokia, you got Naked. I don't even know what Naked is. I think it's lingerie. You got Nokia, Naked, Motorola. These are all considered casino stocks now. AMC, GameStop. And so what hedge funds do, or their MO, they've been doing this for years. They've been doing this for years, guys, years. You literally have all these artificial intelligence algorithms that show all the money flows, going in and going out. They determine if they want to accept your buy and sell order. So you go down in Wall Street to the bar and you meet a market maker of UBS or FedEx, you know, and you get to know people, and this is where friends and politics and Wall Street really, really have a huge problem, is because eventually what happens is the system gets corrupt and dirty and rigged.
Yeah.
I think Mark Cuban said that he doesn't invest in the stock market because he feels it's rigged. Well, a lot of this stuff is coming into light, and this is why you'll see Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies really, really take off, and especially the DeFi space. The financial regulation space is what people are wanting. They just don't know what it is yet. And so, you know, Ethereum is the leader in the DeFi space. And imagine a financial market right now, as we're speaking, there's a financial market where you can literally buy a synthetic version of Tesla. You can buy a synthetic version of Google. You can buy a synthetic version of any stock. And that is in the Ethereum platform. So I think moving forward, you're going to see a lot of a massive shift into digital currencies.
And we're going to get you back to talk more about that stuff. It's always great talking to a fellow patriot and somebody who's God-fearing and has the best interest of the little guy at hand. Carlos Cortez Jr., Cortez Wealth Management. You can visit him online at CortezWM.com. I'm going to put the logo up on the screen here. He's also on Facebook at Cortez Wealth Management. Thanks a lot for joining us. Let's see, what do we got coming up next? Joe the Cop coming up next on PC
Radio.
Buddy.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you.
Censored by Twitter, shadow banned on Facebook, and hated by fake news media. The Patriotically Correct Radio Show with Stu and Rich, Mojo 5-0 Radio.
As we talk more and more about the COVID-19 vaccination and whether or not to get it, I mean, we're not giving any advice one way or the other, but now what's coming into the picture is more and more people are requiring the COVID-19 vaccination. I heard a little birdie telling me this morning, Richard, that if you want to get the $1,400 stimulus from the Biden administration, that you're going to be required to have proof of vaccination. And now joining us is Joe the Cop. Joe is a 24-year law enforcement veteran, a currently working law enforcement officer in the United States of America. We keep his anonymity at bay here and keep him anonymous because of the fact that he is a currently working cop. Joe, welcome back to PC Radio. The Durham County Sheriff is now requiring employees to get the COVID-19 vaccination. Where you work, is it a requirement, or is this still optional where you're at?
No, it was strictly optional. It was recommended. Pretty much everyone got it. A few guys declined to get it for various reasons, but no judgments were made against them. You know, there are no judgments, no harassment. Everybody was, you know, treated like it was their own choice, which it should be.
Yeah. So how do you feel about this, the Durham County Sheriff requiring these employees to get the COVID-19 vaccination? I mean, to me, this would seem to be a constitutional violation of one's body. But obviously, Durham County and the sheriff there feel like this is something that they can do, that they can get away with. I mean, I guess these are at-will employees, right?
Well, down south, it is pretty much at-will. Where I'm at, they would not, to my knowledge, they would not be able to get away with that. You know, understanding labor law and everything where I'm at. But down south, I believe, yes, they can probably do it. The thing is, what it sounds like to me, it sounds like communism to me, is what it sounds like. Now, if these sheriffs, these deputies all decide they want to get it, no problem. But if some of them decide that they don't want to get it, well, that shouldn't be a problem either. I've long said from the start that this needs to be a choice. I made the choice to get this first vaccine. I'm making the choice to get the second vaccine, but If you don't want to get it, that to me should be your choice. The problem I think we're going to run into here is their argument, and they're probably backed by law in this whole thing, is that no, we can't force you to get the vaccine, but nothing says we have to keep you employed. You have a right not to take the vaccine, but you don't have, say, the right to work here. So that's probably where they can do it. Unless, of course, they can, you know, argue it, you know, in court.
Yeah. Joe, would you still have opted to openly get the vaccine had your employer said to continue to work here, you need to go get the COVID-19 vaccine? Would you still have went and got it and been upset about it, or would you just have done it?
It would have been a little of both, Rich, if you want me to be honest, because yeah. I would be resentful of the fact you telling me that I have to do this. But at the same time, I had already planned on doing it. You know, right. Hypochondriac that I am, when I heard there was a vaccine, I said, well, you know, I'll do it, you know. So, and I'm 2 weeks into my vaccine, my first dose, and they said that we probably have about 80% protection. And that's what I've heard from, you know, doctors and nurses that I've talked to and everything. But I don't, I would resent that, yes, you basically are holding a metaphorical gun to my head here.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
Another thing we want to touch on here today with you and get you to weigh in on this. In Washington, the State Fraternal Order of Police had a Facebook post on here today, call to action. We need everyone to click on the link here and voice their opposition against HB 1310 right now. The hearing was set for tomorrow, which is today, Friday, January 29th at 10 a.m. this morning. HB 1310 will make it nearly impossible to safely and effectively do jobs as cops. You can simply sign your name saying the opposite of the bill or... If you wish some written testimony, feel free to use the template below. What is this all about?
What it's about, it's a communist state on the left coast, basically trying to prevent police officers from doing their job. What they're going to do is they're going to do it through legislation. Now, here's my thing, Stu. I do not believe in online petitions. I've never signed one. I don't believe they make any difference in the end. What it's going to come down to is 20 million people could sign on to say that they're against this. And as long as they have the votes in the legislature to pass this, and I believe that they do, it's going to pass. But a few of the takeaways here are, is it's the same garbage, well, when possible, retreat. You know, when possible, use de-escalation. All that garbage. Okay, but the one thing that they're really pushing here is that they are trying to legislate no chokeholds under any circumstances, including deadly force. Well, I got news for you. The first time that they try to prosecute a police officer for using a chokehold in a deadly force situation, they are going to lose and lose big. Once deadly force is legally justified, it's justified. You cannot say, oh, well, you can use deadly force, but not that deadly force. No. When it's justified, it's justified. It's the application of deadly force is irrelevant at that point. Now, what we're going to have here is it's probably going to pass. And you know what I say to this? If you're working in Washington, maybe you want to leave. Maybe you just want to get out of this job altogether. Maybe get into the private sector. Because I'm going to tell you something. I am never going to work under conditions like that. And I'm not going to give the idiots that voted for the idiots that are sitting in office and giving that satisfaction. That's not how it works. What I think should happen in Washington is these guys should basically and let it all burn. Because these people are getting exactly what they vote. They're getting.
He's breaking up a little bit here, but I think what you said is you're getting what you voted for. Let it burn.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Why not? Absolutely. Why not? You know, because at the end of the day, it's going to burn anyhow. The this stuff changes. The cops are going to lose. The law-abiding citizens are going to lose, and the city's going to burn anyhow. So maybe you pack up your wagons and head east.
The law-abiding citizens vote for this. They should suffer the consequences of their votes.
Unbelievable.
Going on here in Portland, we have Ted Wheeler, the mayor and self-appointed commander-in-chief there of the law enforcement agencies all over the place. He's the police commissioner in that city. And he removed chemical agents, took tear gas away from his cops. But then when the fight was brought to him, he then used a chemical agent to subdue the attackers and the people that were threatening him. Don't these people understand that we can see, Joe, the hypocrisy inside of all of this? I mean, don't they understand the police command staffs that are being infiltrated by these politics? Don't you think that they might say, man, I really want to end up on the right side of history with this thing? In about 30 seconds, sum that up.
We shouldn't be surprised by the hypocrisy of it. We shouldn't be surprised by a radical socialist like Ted Wheeler resorting to this, cowardly resorting to these tactics when he is afraid. He wants the police to be handcuffed from doing their jobs, but then he wants to be able to protect themselves. At this point, my question is, why does anyone still work for the Portland Police Bureau? Yeah. Again, walk away, let it burn. There's more money to be made in the private sector, especially without this aggravation.
Every Friday on the Patriotically Correct Radio Show, today cut just a little bit short, but Joe the Cop, every single Friday for Force Matrix Fridays, and we'll see you again.
We love you, Joe.
Next week. Until then, here's what's up to it, here's what's down to it, here's to any way you can get to it, here's to those that don't do it, may they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it, and here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid that radar. One day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!